And welcome back to another episode of You Reaching or Teaching. I am your host, Derek.
And I'm your boy, Aaron.
You know, and we back early, you know. You know, Thanksgiving coming up, you know, we got some things going on. So we definitely want to still give y'all some content. How you feeling today, my boy?
I'm not going to lie, bro. It's been a week. It's been a week, but I'm glad I made it to the end.
That's what's up. That's what's up. That's good to hear. Yeah, it's been, understanding basketball season is here. I am a coach. I help out with middle school and high school. I've been back and forth, just traveling, being, you know, busy on the roads and everything like that. And I know when the season officially starts, it's going to be hectic.
Yeah, who you tell me?
But I volunteer for it, though. So that's, you know, that's one of my passions, everything like that. And I'll do it all over again. But it's gonna be a long one this season. But I'm looking forward to it, man. The kids has been working hard, so can't wait for the season to officially start. So
good.
Yeah. But since the last time we recorded, been some good stuff happening.
Yeah.
You have your own personal debates and everything going on for yourself. So we're going to get into all of that. But first, I definitely want to give a shout out to Ice Cube, him and the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame just established a partnership. The Basketball Hall of Fame established the Ice Cube Impact Award.
Mm-hmm.
And that will be, the first will be granted to him at the Hall of Fame ceremony on January 15th, 2024, and then other individuals after that. But pretty much with that, if you don't know what that is, just pretty much what it is. So it says, the Hall of Fame will permanently house and amplify the Ice Cube Impact Award in its museum and honor subsequent award winners each year through a dedicated exhibit and in-depth storytelling about honorees who use basketball as a platform for good works in their own community. So pretty much it's an award highlighting individuals who, you know, have a positive impact in their communities, whether it's just giving back, whether it's amplifying social injustice, racial injustice, everything like that. So
okay.
I think that's a good award to have. And I think Ice Cube, especially with especially being the first black owner of a sports league.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's good to highlight him.
Yeah.
And submit his history when it comes to his impact with sports.
Mm-hmm.
But just staying on that, not really staying on the award part, but how do you feel about Ice Cube? Like pretty much the relationship Ice Cube has with the NBA and why the NBA don't really support the Big Three League.
I think that from my personal perspective, I feel as if some people, I don't want to say like Adam Silver specifically, but I think some of the higher ups in the NBA view what he's doing as competition. And it's not just something like, oh, these old washed up people are just playing basketball. Like, no, you still see like those people like Joe Johnson, Michael Beasley, some of those guys in that league. It's like, dang, they could still get an NBA contract.
Yeah.
And then you also have old like players in the league now who saying after they retire, that's where they going. Because like Jimmy Butler said that. He was like, I'll go there and play, no question. I forgot who else said that they would go there too. So I think that like some of them view it as competition. And just like any big business, you don't like competition. Like the Big Three isn't going to be as big as the NBA and make all these billions of dollars like next year. But I think that it's just one of those weird business things where it's like you don't see how this can be productive for you, but it actually can. Mm-hmm. You see it as someone's trying to sell lemonade on your street corner.
Right.
But it's like, nah, I got the best lemonade. And you selling it for $2, they selling it for 50 cents.
Yeah.
And it's just like, nah, this is my corner. Like, no, it can be both of our corners. Like, but
I think when it comes to like, not saying they're doing it, they probably are.
Mm-hmm.
Because I mean, Ice Cube no more than us. Like, we're not really in that industry and everything like that. But, you know, just big businesses like the NBA, Shoot, NCAA, you could throw that in there as well.
Yeah.
A lot of those corporations are they just bullies. Like, they don't really want to see. They just want to, like you're saying, they just want to have the only thing in the market.
Yeah.
And I don't understand how they can see the big three as competition, because it's retired NBA players.
Mm-hmm.
If you know, unlike, you know, some people like a LeBron who got a lifetime contract with Nike and other people that got good endorsement deals, you know, after these players leave NBA, well, not necessarily, most of them didn't leave on their own.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, they was, I ain't gonna say forced, but, you know, no other team, you know, picked them up in the NBA. So, and, you know, they still have the passion. They still have the passion to play. They feel like they can still play at a high level, but the NBA is not giving them a chance. So why not, you know, have them? You wouldn't say anything if they was playing overseas.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's still professional basketball.
Like, then nobody fussing that Dwight Howard in Taiwan right now getting 30 and 20. But if he was in the big three,
then it's an issue.
Yeah.
So I guess it's because it's on your soul, you know, American soul, that you have an issue with.
Yeah.
But yeah, I never understood how that is competition when these, pretty much Ice Cube is just giving them a chance to still, you know, play at a high level. It's not a 5-on-5. It's 3-on-3.
Yeah.
And they got different. The rules is pretty different than the NBA and everything like that. Yeah, he's just giving these players an opportunity to still play at a high level. And I think the NBA should get behind that.
Yeah.
Especially if you don't have, like, some type of, I want to say, like, insurance or, like, a retirement plan for these NBA players after they leave the league. I don't care what status they was at. If they was in the league and they're not in the league no more, you should, you know, make sure that they're good afterwards, you know, be able to take care of their family and everything like that. So
exactly.
I don't see how – I never understood how – the NBA never or don't want to back up the big three, when most, probably like 90% of these players, of course you have like a Frank Nitti and other players that play in like the Baller's Life League and everything like that, that's in the big three. But like 90%, I don't know the exact number, you know, I'm just throwing out numbers, but like 90% of that league is NBA players, so why not back up the big three? I never understood that.
And it's like, I think that a few things don't help it. One, you got prominent NBA players, former players who are over there. You got Kevin Garnett. You got WNBA, Lisa Leslie over there. Dr. J over there. Stack is over there.
Legends.
Yes. It's like, well, how come they don't want to do nothing with us? I think it could be like something like that too. And then you also recently, you know, Jaylen Brown played like in their All-Star game. And that's sort of, someone broke it down to me. Someone said, that's like LeBron wearing Jordans. Like, you're not supposed to do that. And I was just like, but if he wants to throw on some Jordans, he can throw on some Jordans if he wants to. And they said, yeah, but you know, from a business perspective, it's like, you are a product of the NBA. That is not a product of the NBA. Those are just people who used to play here. So it's like, Jaylen Brown was praised by players, but the NBA was like, shouldn't have did that.
I get that, but I don't think he got paid for it, though.
That's it. He did.
So it's not a business move.
It's not.
If he didn't get paid for it, then it's nothing that you have to worry about.
And that's all it was, because all Jaylen Brown was doing was just showing support.
Yeah.
Because he's like,
that's it. And that's all motherfuckers asked for.
And that's it. And it's not that big of a deal, because it's just like, these are people who paved the way for me, like, who made the game big, who made the game impactful, not just to me, but to everybody. Why wouldn't I want to give back?
Yeah.
And all it was just the All-Star game. He didn't sign a contract.
Like, whatever y'all just gave him, y'all gave him over 300 mil this past, you know, this past summer. But the big three ain't giving that out. So,
no, absolutely not.
Yeah, but I think, do you think we'll see a wave now, at least like one current NBA player playing in the All-Star game for the big three moving forward?
If we do, it would be someone like a Jimmy Butler, Jaylen Brown, maybe like a Chris Paul. Like, people who are prominent, but not like LeBron, Steph, Giannis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can see that happening.
Mm-hmm.
But best, you know, once again, congrats to Ice Cube for getting that award. And hopefully, down the road, sooner than later, y'all can come to an agreement and the NBA can, you know, start backing up the big three.
Yeah.
I think it's a good league, honestly.
It's
like, when it first came out, I was like, you know, this is pretty dope. It's pretty dope. You know, it's still, especially seeing players that we might not have, had a clear mind because we was young when they were still playing. They was kind of in their later years when we was growing up. So, being able to see those type of players still, still play and everything like that's always good to see.
Yeah, because I know Mario Chalmers in the big three, and I didn't know he could shoot that good. Like, even when he was in Miami, I thought he could, hit a shot every now and then. But, the shooters like Ray Allen, Mike Miller, those other integral pieces. But I didn't realize he had range like that, like hitting from like the 4-point
Four
marker. I'm
point.
like, dang, okay.
See what we
But
got.
congratulations.
Yep, congrats, congrats. So one thing we did see recently that happened was, of course, well, one, the Clippers finally got their victory with Harden on the roster. Who did they beat? They beat, was it, who did they beat? Was it the Spurs? It might not have been the Spurs. But either way, the
Not sure.
Harden won pretty much on a game winner 4-point play that broke the 6-game winning streak. And recently, pretty much Westbrook told Tyronn Lue that he would come off the bench just to help the first unit build chemistry and like that. So how do you feel about that decision?
Well, I was looking to see who they played. They played the Rockets. They beat the Rockets.
Gotcha.
I think that this is a situation where there's a mix of good and a mix of not so good. Like, I hate how people saw this and was like, this is what needed to happen. Russ should do this. Now they can do da 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 da. But it's like they beat the Rockets. No offense, but it's just like they didn't beat the Nuggets. They didn't beat the Celtics. They beat the Rockets. What are we expecting from the Houston Rockets this season? Like the play-in tournament? So they beat a team that one you were supposed to beat if you got Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, Russ, and James Harden on your
And it was
roster.
still a close game.
And it was still you barely won. But it's like people aren't looking at this situation as, okay, maybe this could work. They're looking at the situation as, okay, good, Russ need to do this. And it's like, why y'all coming so hard on Russ when he did like the noble thing? But is it really gonna be worth it in the end? Like, because Harden is still a problem. Like, I don't care what nobody says. Harden is still a problem. He's
That's
gonna
a fact.
shoot streaky. He's gonna play some ISO ball, and you still got other things in question. Like, y'all still are a small team. Like,
Facts.
your small ball isn't like Golden State small ball. Your rotation players aren't really stepping up this season. Ty Lue's late game decision making has been in question. So Russ coming off the bench isn't magically gonna be, oh, the Clippers are going to the Western Conference Finals. Or they're going to be a top
Right.
five team in the West, top five team in the league. So it was good on the part of Russ tried to do something. And yeah, they won, but it's just the one game. It's not like if they go on like a 10 game winning streak from this, okay, maybe we got more of a conversation. But you won one game, you beat a team you were supposed to beat, and Harden, realistically, that just shot was just God blessing them. Let's just be completely real. But that's all. Like, respect for Russ for trying to make something work, but it's still like I don't think that this is going to be the solution long term because you need other pieces.
Yeah, what you think about people? I don't know if you've seen it, but I know people on Twitter
Aloha.
been kind of comparing the situation to the Lakers, and pretty much they were saying we was pray we were praising Russ now for sacrificing coming off the bench and everything like that. But with the Lakers, they was trying to say when the coach told Russ he has to come off the bench, then it was like, oh, we're ruining Russ' career. LeBron is, ruining his career and everything like that. Me personally, I feel like that's two different situations that shouldn't be compared. Because one, Russ didn't ask to come off the bench with us; he
He was
was forced
forced
to
to
come
come off
off
the
the
bench.
bench. And then when he got to, and after pretty much after that whole situation happened, one we traded him. He went to the Clippers,
He actually went
and
to
then
Utah and got bought out.
yeah, got brought out. Then went to the Clippers, and then with the Clippers, I guess he had some type of mind change growth where he was just like, I'm at a certain point in my career where now it's like I can't really make all the decisions. I'm still him to a lot of people, but this is what I need to do to make my team better and just come off the bench as well as take the minimum to be on the team. He getting $4 million a year. I'm not even sure if all of that is guaranteed or not.
No, most of it. Most so, of it's probably not. Some of it's probably not.
So, yeah, I think it's just two different situations. I don't think people need to compare the two at all. So, I think we need to get off of that quickly. And also with the Clippers, Lou told Bones Highland he wasn't going to be in the rotation anymore. For at least, I think they said at least 5 to 6 games.
Yeah.
He's not going to be in the rotation no more. So, how you feel about that?
About Bones?
Yeah.
Miami, pick him up. Like, that's all I got to say. Miami, pick him up, because you need another scoring guard who's consistent on that team. Like, yeah, Bones is a little streaky from the three sometimes, but he consistently shows up. He's going to put in that effort. And he also will be like, all right, I jacked up like 6 threes. I made 2 of them. Let me start driving. Let me start passing. You know, you're not going to get that with Harden. He's going to chuck 6 threes, make 2 of them, and be like, it's all good. I'm still James Harden. And it's just, you don't need that, especially from your younger players in your second unit. So, Miami, go get Bones. But I think that can be seen. That's seen as two different ways. It's like, okay, a coach is making adjustments for Terrence Mann to still get involved, Harden and Russ to get involved, because that's realistically a guard-heavy team. But it's also one of those things where it's like, I feel like it comes off like you're sacrificing the wrong people. You should be sacrificing James Harden, but you sacrificing Russ, the dude who's going to give effort and energy every night, and you sacrificing Bones, a guy who is a pretty good momentum guy off the bench.
Yeah.
Like, so.
My thing with the Clippers, when just looking at their whole situation, it's like, you can tell it's levels to, it's levels to greatness, it's levels to superstardom. I don't even know if that's a word, but it's like, why, and no disrespect to the people that's on the Clippers, but why isn't the Clippers, only really see the backlash to Harden, but why Clippers as a whole is not getting the backlash like the Warriors when they picked up KD?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, you have 4 superstars on your team.
Technically, yeah.
You have 4 superstars on your team. If this was any other, if this was Steph, if this was LeBron, they would be going in on the Clippers or Kawhi or somebody like that. But I really, only backlash I really see is just on James Harden, but not the Clippers as a whole.
Yeah. Because let's be real, it's been a failed experiment for the Clippers, bro. Like, y'all tried.
Since they made the Paul George and Kawhi.
I don't know. I don't even think prayer can fix that situation. But you know what?
Yeah, that's an interesting one.
Yeah.
Do you think they will ever get one?
Get a chip? In 2072, you know, it'd be a good year. Maybe a little early, maybe 2066. But it's crazy because they kind of had it, but then they didn't. It's just Kawhi was hurt, as well as like the other teams just played better. So it goes back to what was said on our Instagram by my boy Blurred Images. Shout out to you. He said that we could give every chip an asterisk. You know, because like, let's say the Clippers did win that year, they was in the Western Conference Finals, and they went to the finals. Did they have a shot? Realistically, yes. But was it guaranteed? Objectively, no. So it's a lot. All the what ifs for the past few years, a lot of them for me go with the Clippers. Of like, what could have happened if Kawhi was healthy? What could have happened if they had other bigs, like some other bigs on their team? Like, what happens if Ty Lue did this early or whatever the case may be? Like, they have a lot of the what ifs that, if we really think about it, could have worked in their favor.
Yeah.
Because, like, they could have been in the finals. I think that they could, out of the past few years, they should have went to the finals at least once. They would have probably lost.
Yeah.
But it's just, I don't know what else you can do to that team, because James Harden ain't the answer.
Yeah, I feel like, I don't have much more to say, but I feel like if it doesn't work this year, they just might have to split all of them up again, honestly. Me personally, you know, Harden be capping. One, he was like, yeah, I want to retire as a 76. That's cap. he probably say the same thing about the Clippers too.
Yep.
And I wouldn't. I love him, and yeah. Me personally, I wouldn't give him a long term contract.
I wouldn't. He's not a max player no
me
more.
Me personally, I wouldn't do it. Stay away from it. Save your money.
No, for real.
Give it to some other key role players for y'all. Give it to some more big men.
Somebody.
Other than him.
I would have did a trade with New York and gave them Julius Randle and they get Harden. Like, some type of, I would have figured out a way to make this work because I be thinking about this stuff all the time because one of my boys be saying I'm a GM. shout out Polo. But, and it's crazy because I called the Dame trade in like 2018. I said it was, we was, we went along with. For those of you who went along with, we had what was called the Stew, like the old mm-hmm. student union. We was down there and we was talking. I said, look, bro, Dame need to go to Milwaukee. And brothers was like, what? I said, think about it, bro. Him and Giannis, that's crazy. And now, 5 years later, it happened. So when the trade happened, I was ready. I was like, I fucking told you. Like,
man, somebody give my mans a job.
Thank you.
You know, stop playing around. Give my mans a job, man.
I appreciate it.
That's all we ask for. We just ask for opportunity.
That's it.
Opportunity. That's it. But now, any closing thoughts on that topic? James Harden, Westbrook.
No, I just think that we just got to continue to see what goes on with the game.
Cool, man. But the next topic, man. Of course, we got to get into Draymond. That's a wild boy. That's a wild boy, man. So if you watching this on YouTube, man, I'm gonna play the game that all chaos went down for y'all. This man Draymond is crazy. All right, so for those that don't know or then y'all should know especially if you're involved in sports, y'all should know. All right, so so last week during the in-season tournament. The Warriors played Minnesota. They played previously before that, and Ant went off on them. But then they played again in the in-season tournament. Mm-hmm. And shit, 2 minutes into the game, everything just broke out. Jaden McDaniels and Klay Thompson pretty much got in a little shuffle, tangled. No punches was thrown, so you can't even say it was a fight, but jerseys was ripped and everything like that. And then people just was trying to break up the fight. Rudy Gobert came over there. It looked like he was trying to break up the fight, but his hands was around Thompson's neck just a little bit, and mm-hmm. I guess Draymond seen that and just he just jumped on that man. And put him in a chokehold. Had that man looking like baby boy.
No,
and
that motherfucker, man. Killing me when people make.
Yo, the memes was on that joint. It was hilarious. I watch. I ain't gonna cap. It's funny. I don't give a fuck what you say. Rudy is a 7'2" motherfucker. Draymond is like what, 6'6", 6'7". Draymond jumped up there and pit you in the headlock. Huh. Why are you more aggressive? You too tall to have be pit in the headlock, my guy. Like, and then you got Cat.
Mm-hmm.
You had to do more. You got to get that man off you, dude.
Nah,
yo.
He was distant from that situation.
Yo, he's like, I ain't trying to get back into it, man. But that happened. Three of them was ejected from the game. And then Draymond received a 5-game suspension. After the game was over, Gobert commented on Draymond, and pretty much he was like, it's kind of funny. Before the game, I was telling myself that Clay, myself that Steph is not playing. So I know Draymond is going to try and get ejected because every time Steph doesn't play, he doesn't want to play. Do you agree with that statement, or he think he was reaching a little bit?
That's just because Rudy don't like Draymond. Like that's an extreme statement. Like that's all that is. That's just you just don't like the motherfucker. Like okay, that's fine, but that doesn't really happen with Draymond all the time. Like he doesn't try to get ejected when Steph doesn't play. I will say Draymond tries to compensate for the energy, mm-hmm. Because you don't got Steph making them daggers on nobody. So he probably is a little more amped up, but it's not always he's trying to get ejected. He is always trying to inject life into his team. Because it's like, let's be real, like Andrew Wiggins ain't been playing well. Klay Thompson ain't
been playing. A lot of them hasn't been playing well.
Like, they haven't been playing well. Like, so you needed something. I'm, you know, him turning to Stone Cold Steve Austin wasn't the something. But
man, I looked at that shit like 100 times. I go, God, that was some of the funniest ever, man. Then you had Gilbert on his show with the neck brace on. Man, that shit was hilarious. I could not stop laughing, man. And I'm not sorry for it.
You should get Joe like that when you're not looking.
Yeah,
like,
you paid the rent. Yeah, you paid my hat. My I ain't paying shit. What you say?
Hey, listen, what you say? Not this one.
Oh man, yo, this is a funny. I think, man, it got to be history in there somewhere, but I got to find that the moment that happened. Mm-hmm. Oh, I think someone mentioned that Rudy commented on Draymond.
Oh yeah, yeah, insecurity speech.
Yeah, when he punched Poole.
Yeah,
and everything like that. But I don't think Draymond that petty, because that was over a year ago. But you never know. Dark skinned niggas be petty.
No offense to the dark skinned brothers. Listen.
No offense. But all the offense at the same time.
Oh, dear God.
I'm right in the middle, so you know what I'm saying? But some people was like critical of just the 5-game suspension. Like, it was like they didn't necessarily agree with the 5. It was either they thought he should have got less, or they thought he should have got more, just based on his previous incidents that happened in the NBA.
Yeah.
And what the NBA said, you know, the 5-game suspension came from his previous, you know, unsportsmanlike acts that happened in the past. Do you think he should have got less or more time?
I think he should have got 3 games instead of 5.
Why is that?
Because I think that, and even like Rasheed Wallace has talked about this, like there's a bias towards dudes like that. It was a bias towards like Dennis Rodman. It was a bias towards, well, he wasn't like physical or acts like them, but like towards Allen Iverson. Like the refs and the people who officiate will come down hard on certain people than everybody. Because it's like, who's the brother that, what do I do, that played for the Bad Boy Pistons? Bill Laimbeer.
Yeah,
like he's in charge of like administering that stuff. And for him to get Draymond that for 5 games, I was like, now what did you do to Bird and Mike? You was choking him in the air and throwing them down, and you still played. Come on,
that's
now.
That's a fact.
Like, I just think that there's a bias against Draymond. And yes, he has done antics. He has done things that are questionable and you don't like. But if he got 5 games, and I say lengthen John Morant's sentence to 25 games, I would have gave him to the All-Star break. And that's just how I think. Because Draymond putting his hands on somebody is way different than someone having a firearm. Like, just saying. That's just me talking.
I get that.
But I would have gave him 3 games. I would have fined him, and he would have not got paid those 3 games.
I think he would. I don't know the amount, but I think he did get fined, too.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people were trying to compare it to the other situation that's happened in the past, like 5 years or so.
Mm-hmm.
They compared, like, when Jokic hit Morris, the twin in the back.
Yeah.
He only got one game suspension.
But Morris was out for, like, the season.
Yeah, I'm about to say. Then Rondo, him and Chris Paul got into it. Rondo only got a 3-game suspension. Then you bung up Ja Morant.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much 33 games total. For the first incident, it was 8-game suspension. And then the second offense was a 25-game suspension. So I get your point, but me personally, I'm on the other side of the fence.
You would have gave him more?
I would have gave him more.
Why?
I would have gave him more because I feel like with Draymond, refs already, and the game suspension don't have nothing to do with the refs, but when you're talking about just in-game stuff, I feel like the refs let Draymond already, just because they know who Draymond is, he's one of the key players on the Warriors, one of the key players, shoot, in the NBA, you can say that.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like they already let stuff slide for Draymond. Like, I feel like shit, he can get a tech every game, but they let shit slide that they wouldn't for some other, like, lesser, you know, role players.
Give me an example.
Like,
because I think Draymond got a tech for breathing.
Of course, we see Draymond act crazy towards refs.
Yeah.
Like, but then there's other games where he's, you know, all in the refs' face. Mm-hmm. Shoot, and then, you know, players, if you just do this to the refs and walk off, that's a tech.
Yeah.
I've seen games where Draymond has done that plenty of times. Mm-hmm. But I feel like since they know that, you know, that's Draymond, that's his character. Mm-hmm. I guess depending on, especially if they're playing a major team, they're playing somebody like the Lakers and this and that, they want to keep him in the game, so they're not going to give him the tech. I think sometimes refs do look out for the fans and be like, I'm not going to do this just to keep the game exciting. But other times, I feel like if it was any other players, they would have teched him up, got him out the game easily. But then with this situation, you know, it was the first time we've seen Draymond with like a physical altercation on the court.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's not the first time.
No.
It's not the first time. He was.
It was that one time when his jersey ripped.
Jersey, was that with Mitchell?
I forget.
Was that Donovan Mitchell?
I just remember he had a white jersey.
Yeah, so
that's when the Nike jersey first got.
Yeah, so yeah, it's not the first time. But then you know, you have the playoff situations like, you know, stepping on Sabonis. Kicking people in their nuts. Just certain plays like that, that, you know, some people may overlook. And I personally do agree that this is a continuing act from Draymond. And I feel like 5 games is just a slap on the wrist. I say like 10 games, 10 to 15 games. I ain't say a lot, but I just feel like you can't choke, especially if you wasn't the person in the altercation. You came and pit yourself in the altercation. Like, you didn't have to.
Well, yeah.
You didn't have to choke him.
But that's the same for the situation with Chris Paul and Mondo and Brandon Ingram came in. He got 1 game, and he actually made contact with Chris Paul. He wasn't involved in that situation. Mm-hmm. He got a 1-game suspension. But Rondo had a 3-game suspension because it's like Chris Paul kept saying, oh, he spat on me. Like, he spat on me.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just my point is, when players like Draymond have like their antics, I don't think they get slaps on the wrist. I think they get looked at harder. Like, it was one time Rasheed Wallace got thrown out of the game just for looking at a ref.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just it. It was like, I don't like the way he's looking at me. He out. He's looking at
that
you.
That was exactly
like, that was very petty. But it's like, his reputation is he gonna talk to the refs, he gonna do this to the refs. When it's like, no, I'm asking what the fuck happened, not in a term like what the fuck happened, but it's like, no, what happened? How was that a foul? Because it's like,
devil's advocate.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think one? I do agree that was petty. Devil's advocate point of view. As a ref, can you look at that as intimidation? Rasheed Wallace was just looking, he was following him all around, just looking at him like,
can
you look at that as intimidation?
But my thing is, when it comes to text and flagrants, if it does not interfere with the game of basketball, then what are we talking about? Like, the text that happened with me when we was coaching. Mm-hmm. Dude didn't need to give me a tech because all I said was Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
What does that have to do with basketball? It's not affecting the game. It's not affecting the shot clock. It's not affecting the outcome because I said something.
Mm-hmm.
Versus, it's like Draymond choking Gobert. Yeah, tech out the game. No question about it. People getting a fight. Yep, tech out the game. No question about it. But it's like, if I'm someone who does not have a history of that, like LeBron, he's only got kicked out of 1 game his whole career. And even then, people's like, that's kind of a stretch. But if you would go back and look at it, some people said it was deserving. But it was a one-time thing, and it happened again. But you got Draymond. I feel like refs aren't looking like at a LeBron or a Steph or like a Giannis or a Luka. Actually, not because Luka be getting into a ref too. But like, let's say someone like Steven Adams, they're not looking at you thinking he's going to do some bullshit. But as soon as Draymond walk in, this person may be going to work tonight. So instead of refereeing the game, you're looking for him to do something. It's like, if Draymond was to foul somebody, it was an obvious foul on a shot, 2 free throws. And he's like, "What? How the fuck was that a foul?" I'm like, Dre, You hit him. He was going up for the shot. That's a foul. That's what I saw. He's going to hit 2 free throws, miss it, make it whatever. We're going on through. I get the point of intimidation. I think that some players do try to intimidate referees. Mm-hmm. But it's also the point of, like, is there a bias that you already have against this player present? Because if it is, I don't think he should officiate this game. If I, like, who is it? The ref that Chris Paul has never won a series with. There should be something. Like, it's a referee. I forget his name. But every series that Chris Paul has had to determine.
It wasn't a black ref, was it?
It was a white dude. He's always lost that series when that guy refs the last game. It's like, we can understand that Draymond, as well as players like him, have done some things.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is understandable. But it's like the fact that, oh, we got to take into account. That's why I disagree.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, what does my tech in 2016 have to do with today's game in 2023? I think that's bullshit. Like, you can't hold that against me. And that's what this feels like. It's like you're holding my past techs against me. And that's unfair. Now, what Draymond did is a tech. That is a flick. You out the game because you're affecting the game. But if I'm doing some shit like, oh, I fouled him and it was an obvious foul, but you call a tech for that. Whoa. How is that a tech? If we boxing out and I muscle you a little more and I get the ball, that's not a tech. That's not. But they would give that to Draymond. But they wouldn't do that to Steven Adams, even though Steven Adams is a mountain of a man.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think that there is a bias against people like Draymond and Draymond himself because they want to take into account the shit that you did. Oh, so he's going to do it again.
Yeah.
Can it happen? Absolutely. Yeah. Has he done some antics? I definitely agree. But it's just like suspending him past 10 games is much to me in this situation. Because like I said, we've given Draymond 10 games. I'm giving John Morant till the All-Star break. Because you actually had a firearm.
Yeah.
On team property, technically, too, which is not a thing, which is fucked up.
Yeah.
Like, you're not supposed to do that.
I agree on your point. I see both sides of it, though. Especially with the Ja Morant situation, especially since it's not, but we don't know what's in those contracts.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what,
like the incentives,
what morality clause
morality clauses
are in those types of contracts and everything like that.
Everybody got the same morality clause to an extent. You may get a little something different,
but the teams may be different from the whole NBA and everything like that too. So that's something. You know, we have to take into consideration. But me personally, I feel like Ja, especially the first one, mm-hmm. I feel like he shouldn't got suspended. 125 is kind of long to me, too, especially when it's not dealing with the NBA. But back to the Draymond situation, I do feel like
refs, but it was with the image, though.
The image.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you can't mess up. Can't mess up the brand.
Yeah.
You can't mess up the brand. But I feel like with the Draymond situation, I feel like refs, I want to have that conversation too, because I finally, like a month ago, I finally watched I forgot what it's called, but about the ref that was doing the betting.
Tim. I know what you're talking about. He bet. It was the Lakers and Kings series.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But pretty much, I do feel like it's still those types of refs in the NBA that has bias against certain players or they're involved in other outside illegal gambling situations, and those types of refs will negatively impact the game and everything like that, especially when you're dealing with somebody like a Draymond Green. But at the same time, me personally, I feel like you always said, two things can be true at the same time.
Yeah,
the refs or the league can have something against Draymond.
Mm-hmm.
But Draymond, you're not making your case any better, especially after you done picked in the chokehold.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, we let this one slide. Okay, we gave you a slap on the wrist here and there. And then you go and do this.
Mm.
We gave you that. And that's why I feel like, damn, y'all probably heard that. That's why I feel like the 5 games was like, that's nothing. It's early, and it's still early in the season.
Yeah.
I'm not sure why Steph didn't play that game.
I forgot why.
But I haven't heard of any injuries or anything like that. No. But I mean, he'd probably be back, you know, in the next few games or so. So
yeah.
Would it be early?
Because they play before Thanksgiving, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So would it be an early? Would it be an early in the season? Five games ain't. It's really.
It's not impactful.
Matter. Yeah, it's not impactful at all. That's why I feel like it was a slap on the wrist. Now if it was toward. It was like five games in the playoffs. Mm. That's a whole different type of situation.
And that makes sense. It's you just know what I'm saying? My only question is, okay, if replace Draymond choking out Rudy Gobert, let's say it's Shea Gilgeous Alexander. What happens if he choke out, if he does the exact, even though this hasn't been his character, let's say it's that game and he choke out Brandon Ingram. Is that also 10 games?
I think it should be.
Okay, cool. No debate. Cool. Yeah. I think the biggest point is, I think when this...
Go ahead, I'm gonna let you.
I was gonna say, I think with the situation, people are conflating the length of time with not being suspended at all. Like, no, we never said he should not be suspended. Mm-hmm. I think that's one thing people are missing when like Stephen A. is saying it, Shannon Sharpe, other people. No, he should have been suspended.
Yeah.
The length of time is fair to question. But the fact is that act he did, he should have been suspended for. But in the future, if this happens again, it needs to be the same thing for somebody else.
And at the same time, like, I don't want to compare the two, but it's like when you fighting can be a little different, like fist, you know, throwing your fist.
Mm-hmm.
When you I don't know what Draymond's intent was.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, was it really just okay, you on my player, let me get you off my player. So I'm not sure how tight the chokehold was, but you can look at Rudy's face. He was like, yo, get him off, like get him off me. So I don't know. I guess also the intent, I guess the NBA would have to, I think they should have, if they didn't, they should have talked to Draymond about that situation if they didn't do that and not just give him the five. They need to talk to him and be like, okay, what was your point of view? Why did you do that? Did you think Rudy was hurting Clay? Were you pitting a choker? Was it just to de-escalate the situation, or were you really trying to harm Rudy Gobert? So I feel like that should have been some type of conversation between the NBA and Draymond Green before the suspension happened. And maybe that conversation did happen, and maybe that's why it was just five-game suspension.
Probably.
Maybe that's the case right there.
Yeah.
But of course, I'm not going to say I was trying to harm nobody anyway.
Yeah.
But that's what I feel about it. And then, if anybody else did it, give them a 10-game suspension. But it is NBA now. It's a different time. You know, I know you brought up, like, the 90s and 80s and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, stuff like that. A hard flagrant foul was a common foul back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
But with the NBA, you know, changing all the rules and everything like that, you know, applied all across the board. And, you know, especially with players like Draymond, if you want to make an example, I mean, you made an example out of Ja.
Yeah.
So, made an example out of Draymond, too.
It's just tough because it's like, I think that with certain refs, they let other things affect the call. Because it's like one time Luka got a tech and he wasn't even talking to the ref. He was talking to his teammate. He was like, he told him, like, give me the ball. And it was like, tech. He said, I wasn't even talking to you.
Talking about.
Like, things like that versus when Zaza Pachulia intentionally fell on Russ that one game. And then next thing you know, Russ had to get knee surgery. I would have took some action to that because it's like Russ was perfectly fine before you did that. And looking back at that clip, nothing caused you to fall. And you was just like, oh, and your big 7-foot ass fell on his knee intentionally.
So, do you think refs need to be more accountable for the calls that they make in the games? Do you think they need to be fined? Do you think they need to be let off a couple games? For some of the questions.
Fined, fired, and investigated. Like, depending on what we do.
Yeah.
Like, if I'm going up for the layup and you smack the shit out of me, you shouldn't give me a pass. They shouldn't give you a pass because I'm bigger than you.
Right.
But that's what happens. Like, to players like LeBron. You know, I'm not a LeBron fan, but I will advocate for this. He does get unfair calls sometimes. He'll go up and he'll get the shit smacked out of him. It's like, that's a foul. But it's like, shut up, LeBron, keep playing. But they're doing it because you're 6'8 and 250, 260. But had there been Steph going through and he got knocked like that, he hit the line. No question.
Yeah.
No hesitation. So it's just, it has to be just consistency. That's the biggest thing.
I'm glad you brought that up because, like, I do feel like, and we can have that conversation another time, but I do feel like refs do manipulate like the calls and stuff like that, because it's a stat.
Mm-hmm.
Especially after, I think, I forgot what game it was, like last week, maybe the week before that, but the Lakers was pretty much questioning the lack of calls
mm-hmm.
that they was getting. And then a stat came up. Somebody came up with a stat, and it showed since last, maybe like since the playoffs or sometime last year to now, the Lakers are the ones that actually received the most
mm-hmm.
calls, you know, got to the free throw line and everything like that. So it's kind of, you know, mm-hmm. affecting, you know, what they got going on now. But do you think refs, let me stop saying that. I know refs look at this shit.
Yeah.
I already know. But I think refs look at those types of stats and be like, okay, we've been giving the Lakers or this team or this player all these calls.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not do that. Let's not do that this game.
Yeah. I think that that's part of it too. Because it's also like hearing some refs talk personally as well as like from interview-wise. They do look back at that stuff, because it was one game, I played in the summer league game, and I was pulling up for the jumper, and dude legit smacked my wrist, like you could hear it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, ref, how's that not a foul? He said, keep playing, 15, keep playing. So at the end of the game, I went to the bathroom, because Coach Scott was telling us, you know, let's go ahead and get on the bus so we can go home, fellas. After I got to the bathroom, and I was going down, ref was like, hey, 15, that was my bad. Like, the other refs talked to me, and they said, yeah, I missed that call. That should have been 2 free throws. I was like, well, I appreciate it, but the game over now. Like, thank right. you.
Unless you about to pit me on the line mm-hmm. and let me shoot my 2 free throws, I don't want to hear.
No, seriously. But and then it's also moments in the game. It's like, this happened to my sister. One of the refs was put to sign. He was like, hey, 13. He said, when you jabbing, don't move your other foot. Because I got to call that travel. Mm-hmm. So don't do that again. Because I saw it. I just didn't call it.
Yeah.
And my sister was like, okay. And next time she did it again and she traveled, he was like, I told you. Like, I was going to have to call it.
Yep.
Like, they still won. But it was when they was playing Cumberland. That happened. And she didn't like the call. But I'm like,
yeah. it needed to be called. Yeah, he told you. it needed to be called.
Like, it happened. So I think that refs do need to continue to check each other as well as mm-hmm. to continue to educate players. It's like, yeah. Hey, if he coming to you when you trying to Euro, like if you're trying to Euro and you coming to somebody, that's not a foul. You went into them versus like, okay, you went up for a layup and they smacked your hand. Okay, I missed that. That's on me. Right. I got you next time. So that's all. It just needs to be a checks and balances.
It do. Because there do be some calls, man. Like we can see it. We're not even at the game, but we can see it on the TV, and it's like, bro, you're right there. Like mm-hmm. you're right under the basket. Like I'm this close to you. Like, bro, like you did not see that. You did not hear that. Like, come on now.
Mm-hmm.
But I know I haven't really seen much unless it's just the games that happened that I didn't watch. But I know opening week.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember what game it was, but you know they got the new rule now. If you're flopping,
yeah, it's a tech. Tech. Yep.
So it was doing one of those games, and like two of those calls was two of those texts was called.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody got ejected out the game. But I really haven't seen it, you know. After that, do you think that can? Do you think Russ will call that based on bias? Because I feel like with some players, because honestly, some of the games that I've watched since then, mm-hmm. I'd be like, bro, that was a flop.
Yeah.
Why didn't you call it there?
Yeah.
But you called it on this player twice mm-hmm. in this game.
Yep.
And they was ejected out of the game. Do you think that this new rule will, how do you think that will impact the game going forward? I think it's a good rule because mm-hmm. a lot of people flop.
Yeah,
but if you're not going to call it every single time, mm-hmm. then why have it?
Yeah, and that's like the problem with it is we know what a flop look like.
Yes.
And that's why, you know, this is, you know, a while ago, This is why when we saw the Will Smith situation, I don't think the slap was real. But it's just how somebody reacts to something mm-hmm. lets you know if it's real or not. I've seen people get a charge call and it's like they were just reacted quickly and then boom, they actually like fell.
Yeah.
They just did the motion so they wouldn't hit their head.
Right.
Versus like you see Marcus Smart get hit and it's just crazy. It's theatrical. Like, so I think that it's going to be tough.
Yeah.
Because it's like, how do I really know you were trying to take that charge and you just got caught off guard and actually fell? Versus mm-hmm. how do I know you quote unquote took that charge, but you didn't just exaggerate it so you can get the charge? So that's going to be tough to tell because you got some people who really know how to sell.
Right.
Like,
do you think it's good for the game? I had a idea. Like every quarter, of course, they got like the official refs that's in the booths and everything that look at all the plays that's happened, especially if it's like they didn't know if it was a two or a three, they'll go back and review that play.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe like, especially like during halftime or something, you know, have whoever's up, the officiating person that's at top
mm-hmm.
looking
the chief
at
official.
The chief official,
mm-hmm.
him looking at the first quarter over, have him looking at everything.
Mm-hmm.
Boom. And then after the second quarter over, looking at everything, get that information back to the officiating mm-hmm. refs in the game. And then they can decide, okay, this play here, this player flopped.
Right.
Do you think that's fair for teams if it's like a rule where it's like, okay, we didn't call it here,
mm-hmm.
but after looking at the film, this was a flop. It should have been this and that. Do you think it's fair for teams, or I guess refs can allow teams to shoot technical mm-hmm. fouls or, you know, free throws then, you know, after the situation is over?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that's fair?
I think that that's fair. It's like if we go into halftime and I realize, like, oh, I missed two calls.
Yeah.
And one was for, let's say one was for De'Aaron Fox and the other one was on Sabonis. Yeah, let them take the two free throws, mm-hmm. get them out the way because we messed up.
Yeah.
That's that accountability. But then it's also like, hey, after reviewing like the situation, that technically wasn't your second foul, that was your third foul. So it wasn't on the shot, it was on the floor, but write it down that Jaren Jackson Jr. has three fouls and not yeah. two. And let the coach know and let him know.
Because it's like, because some things I've noticed, like with podcasting, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you're going through the conversation that you're having, if there's something you think, okay, I want to say this, but I don't need it out. But in order for the conversation to flow well, mm-hmm. I need to say this, but I don't need it out to the public. So I'll yes. be like, I'm gonna, you know, take a note of it,
mm-hmm.
and I'm gonna blurb it out.
Yep.
You know, or just cut it out completely.
Yep.
You know, when a show come out. I feel like, you know, that's how refs need to be in the games. If there's like a questionable call that they didn't call or did call and they need to go back and review it,
mm-hmm.
look at whoever's over there, you know, on the side and be like, hey, write that down.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Write that down. I'm going to go back and look at that.
Yeah.
You know, at the half,
yep.
after the game is over, mm-hmm. I need to go and, you know, review all yeah. of that.
Because it keeps the game accountable. It's like, okay, Steph actually has two free throws when we get back from halftime.
Mm-hmm.
And Clay actually traveled, but watch out for that next time.
Right.
And, you know, and as the ref, tell him, like, hey, we looked at it at 2 minutes and 27 seconds. You traveled. We didn't call it. Just know, be careful. Cool. All right. And then on the other side, like, all right, Giannis, instead of two fouls, you got three. And that last one was on the shot. So Steph is shooting those two free throws.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, be careful, mind your fouls, you
yeah.
know, coming in at halftime. And Dame, you double dribbled at one point. Watch out for something like that.
Right.
I think like that keeps everybody accountable because at that point it's like, okay, even if I didn't see it, it's like, all right. Yeah.
Yeah. Facts. So, hey, give us a job. You know, we giving y'all some good ideas.
I,
you know what I'm saying?
I'm not asking for like $1 million contract. Just 800,000. That's all.
Yeah, it don't got to be a lot. $850,000.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Christmas bonus.
All that.
Playoff bonus.
It's just an idea, you know, we throwing out there to you.
That's it.
But it definitely needs, like you said, it needs a more checks and balance, especially when it comes to officiating the game, because it has been a lot of stupid calls and like the soft, like the soft technical fouls that's been getting called. And I hate it.
Yeah,
I hate it.
Shout out to our comment sections and people engaging on our social media too.
Facts, yeah. Shout out to y'all. We appreciate all the feedback that you give us. But one thing I did want to go into, before we get into that, let's go into the results from the last week. So the first week we did it, I was 3-6. Mm-hmm. You was 1-8. So the following week after that was the games from November 12th through the 16th. Mm-hmm. I was 5-1. You was 4-2.
I'll take that. I'll take that.
The Lakers defeated the Trailblazers. Celtics defeated Knicks. Kings defeated the Cavs. Celtics defeated 76ers. Kings defeated the Lakers. Heat defeated Nets, and Thunder defeated the Warriors.
I just want to win more than one game. That's all I wanted. All
right, so the day that we're recording is Sunday, November the 19th. Mm-hmm. I'm always going to be keeping track of the Lakers. So Lakers are playing the Raptors at home tonight. Mm-hmm. Aaron, who you got?
Actually, I would go with us. Confidently, we'll win tonight.
I'm going to go LA as well. Mm-hmm. This not our first time playing the Rockets this season, is it?
I don't think it's our first time playing. I think it is our first time playing. My bad. All
right. Then I'm not sure. I think it's NBA TV. But the Suns versus the Jazz.
Ooh. That's a tough one for me because I feel like that the Jazz is one of those teams who could fuck around and win this. Mm-hmm. But KD been balling.
KD has been balling. And Booker back.
Mm-hmm. Bradley Beal, get healthy. So we can see all three of y'all. But I'm going to go with the Suns. But it's actually going to be a good game. It's not going to be like no 104-87, 120-82. It'll be something like 115 to like 98.
Mm. 99. Yeah, I'm going to have to go to the Suns this time too. Mm-hmm. Monday, no national game. Mm-hmm. No nationally televised games, I should say.
Yeah.
Tuesday is the in-season tournament. Wednesday, we have Bucks and Celtics.
Ooh.
Good one. Well, we've been waiting on.
I know. I want Milwaukee to win. Because, Giannis is my guy.
They playing in Boston.
But you playing in Boston. Mm-hmm. I'll go against what I want to happen. And I'll give it to Boston.
Boston has been playing well.
Yeah. Mm-mm-mm. But Giannis had that 40 piece though.
I'm about to say.
Ooh, he may be on that momentum.
This is a good one. Mm-hmm. This is a good one. I'm looking forward to that game.
Yeah. I'm gonna be out of state coming up. I gotta watch these games on my cousin's big screen.
Right. I'm going to rock with the Bucks.
Okay.
I'm going to rock with the Bucks this one.
Look, if the Bucks win, I'm not mad. That's what I want. But for the sake of having a better record these next 2 weeks, for me personally on the show, I'm going with Boston.
And then the West Coast game for that day is the Warriors versus the Suns.
Phoenix. I'm going with Phoenix. I've been seeing people saying Steph should get MVP this season. He playing like it.
That's the thing too. He's not. He's playing like it. Mm-hmm. He's not. The I don't know what list it was. It may have been NBA list or it may have been like ESPN. Mm-hmm. He wasn't even in the top five,
which is ridiculous.
I mean, not top five. He wasn't even in the top 10.
No, he should be on there.
The top three that I seen was
Tatum.
Jokic was one. Luka was two, and then Embiid was three.
I thought Tatum was three. Mm-mm. Damn. Well, all right.
No, it was Jokic, Luka, and then Embiid. I think Tatum was in top five.
Okay.
I know Tatum was up there. Shea was up there. Maxi was in the top 10.
Dang. Okay.
Who else was up there? It was like some another LeBron wasn't even top 10.
LeBron been balling.
Like, so I'm not sure. I guess they may factor record in this.
Mm-hmm. Probably so.
In here, but yeah, I'm not sure. I don't even know how that goes, how that works now, because you have a team, you know, and like the Warriors and the Lakers is still like 7, 6 and 7, something like that. They're not below 8. Yeah. So technically they would be in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Without this goddamn play-in tournament.
I hate the play-in tournament, y'all. I think it's the stupidest idea. Because it's like, if I'm the 7th seed and I beat the 8th seed, I'm still the 7th seed.
Yeah.
Cool.
Like, yeah, it makes no sense.
All right. Oh, well.
It makes no sense to me. But, yeah, I do feel like Steph needs to be definitely in this top 10 candidate right now. As well as LeBron, too.
Yeah. I agree with that.
But, yeah, you went with Phoenix. I guess it depends on who is playing.
Let's say if KD if the Steph only is one
not
playing.
I'm about to say if Steph's not playing, I'm gonna go with the Suns too. Yeah, I'm going with the Suns. I'm gonna go with the Suns. I don't know who's not playing on the Warriors right now.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Saturday, Friday is, well, there was no game. Oh, Thanksgiving. That's why it was no game.
Yeah.
Friday is the end season tournament. Mm-hmm. And then Saturday we have Lakers versus the Cavs.
I'm going Cleveland. I don't know why, but
this is for you.
I don't know why, but I feel like we're not going to win that one. I feel like Spider going to go crazy, and like Mobley just going to have like 4 blocks all on AD. And I know like blocks, like tip that shit. I mean, like he like stuff
that
shit.
Get that shit out of there. Pow! And like a nuclear bomb.
No, for real.
Lakers, Cavs. I'm going to go my LA.
Okay.
I'm going to Lakers.
I hope. And while we on LA, you know what I'm saying?
I gotta
address one of our viewers' channel. You know, I name drop on my channel because I don't give a damn because it's my channel. But this is a joint channel, so I'm not going to do it out of respect for Brother Derek Robinson.
Talk your shit.
There's an individual who DM'd us and was going back and forth about how the Lakers are good. You know who you are. And I will say what was said in the messages. We're not. We need work. AD is inconsistent. Don't give me that bullshit about how he did good in the playoffs that he's consistent. No. Think about it like this. If I got 4 F's and an A, you can't call me a good student. I'm failing. AD has not been consistent. Our rotation players have not lived up to the hype. The best thing we've done so far is put Austin Reeves on the bench. Because he's been our best consistent bench player. Rui is second right there, but he need more playing time. I get we're still missing Vando. I get that Gabe Vincent ain't been playing consistent. And I get that it's still a little early in the season. However, we need to get some shit together as a team. Rotations need to be better. Execution needs to be better. And there's nothing wrong with that. Derek, I'm like, you know, I'm not talking to the camera right now. I'm talking to you. Actually, I'll talk to both of y'all. I hate that when people think just because we won, we did good.
Right.
I genuinely hate that. Like, you can win and still play terribly. AD has been consistent on defense, not offense. We can't keep relying on LeBron to get 38, 35, 36, 29, 8-8, like damn near a triple-double every night. We can win and not play good basketball.
Right.
That happens. That happens in every sport. So let's stop. This isn't just for Lakers fans. For the individual I'm talking to, this is for everybody. Just because your team won the game did not mean you played good.
That's a fact. That's facts. That's kind of this is not nothing to do with basketball, but it's kind of like Shakur Stevenson with his boxing match last week. But he won, but he himself said that was a horrible fight. He apologized to everybody that came out there.
Mm-hmm.
He said he could have done better and everything like that. But when it comes to the Lakers, we do have some key wins early in the season, especially against like the Suns mm-hmm. and stuff like teams like that. But then there comes games where it's like that I don't really judge because we should win those games.
Yep.
And those games is like, you know, like a Portland, mm-hmm. like the Rockets game that's coming up today.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, those games like that, you know, we do win. I'll be like, okay, that's good. We're supposed to win those games. But then you look back at those games and be like, damn, this shit was closer than what it's supposed to be.
Yep.
Like we supposed to had a bigger gap mm-hmm. than what it was. And then I think, but to your debate,
mm-hmm.
we're not gonna sit here and act like AD is consistent.
He's not.
KD has been inconsistent for more than a year now. Yep. Like
his most consistent year was the bubble year.
That's it. And then after that, he's been very inconsistent, mainly because of injury.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not gonna use.
But it's also effort.
This how this I think Mace saying Cameron Mace always he was like the best. How did they say it?
I think the best defense is a good offense.
No, he was like,
come on down.
But pretty much, I gotta remember for next time. But pretty much, they were saying,
mm-hmm.
You need to be available.
Yeah,
I don't care if you're hurt or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You need to be available for these games.
Mm-hmm.
And then we played the Kings the other day. Bro,
I'm glad I picked.
Didn't
I pick the Kings to win that? I think did.
I think you did. Yeah. I got that one wrong. That was the one that I got wrong. But yeah, like 9 points that game.
Sabonis. And Sabonis bitched you, AD.
I did not know AD was 0-8 against Sabonis. So he's another, Jokic number two for AD at this point.
Yep.
Like, and no disrespect to Sabonis, but he not a top.
Jokic in the league right now.
Yeah, he not. Yeah, come on, AD. You can't let him have a Jokic type game on you like that.
Yep.
But yeah, I definitely disagree. If you think AD is consistent, yeah, no, stop. But we definitely got some more work to do. And I hate doing this time because it'd be like, you know, it's early.
Yeah,
it's early. They still got to figure out their identity. But then when the trade deadline comes, you're like, okay, we got to make this. We got to get this player. Why we got to get more
players? I thought we were good.
It was good.
I thought we were good. I'm good. No,
it's early. No, we don't need more players. But that's how some fans be, though.
And it's just like Jackson Hayes isn't defending well right now. Cameron Reddish is shooting like 20-some% from three right now. What else is going on? D'Lo, what the fuck are you doing? Like, turnover magnet, not shooting well, like in totality, not shooting well. Torian Prince, I like him as a player, but he's just out there really for like the corner three. Nothing wrong with that because he does play defense, but it's like what he does isn't enough of a push to help us win.
Yeah,
it can help further the lead, it can help get us back maybe like we if we down like 10, but we down 20. I'm not be like, all right, Torian, it's you,
do that bitch up. Let it fly.
I'm saying, just let it shoot. Fuck it, shoot it. Like no.
Yeah, but outside of LeBron, it would probably be Reeves for the second consistent player.
Mm-hmm. Then the other and teams. Then, yeah, that's the third player. Other teams. Yep.
And then everybody else. That's hilarious. The last game we got is the Mavs and Clippers.
No, give me the Mavericks.
Mavs. Yeah.
Luka. MVP this season. I'm still calling it Luka MVP this season.
I can see it. Oh yeah, and then with the in season tournament that's going on, of course we all know it's six groups. Mm-hmm. So East Group A consists of Pacers, Hawks, 76ers, Cavs, Pistons. Pacers lead that right now 2-0. East Group B consists of Heat, Bucks, Hornets, Knicks, Wizards, Heat and Bucks are tied at 2-0. East Group C consists of Celtics, Nets, Raptors, Bulls, Magic, and Celtics is winning 2-0. And then West Group A
It's Lakers, Jazz, Trailblazers, Suns, and Grizzlies. Lakers is leading at 3-0. West Group B consists of Nuggets, Rockets, Pelicans, Mavericks, and Clippers. The Nuggets is winning at 2. Well, Nuggets and Pelicans are tied at 2-1 right now. And then West Group C is the Kings. Timberwolves, Kings, Warriors, Thunder, and Spurs. And then the Kings and the Thunder is currently tied at 2-0. Mm. So that's for the in-season tournament.
All right.
I don't want to get into that, but Dame did make a good point about the in-season tournament.
The money?
Mm-hmm.
I got mixed feelings on it.
Yeah.
That's just me.
But then the last topic I want to get into is the wonderful injuries.
We're not going to do all that. Caitlin Clark is wonderful. Great time to play though.
So if you paid attention, if y'all pay attention to like college basketball,
mm-hmm.
You've seen that Angel Reese did not play against, I think they was playing against Southern Louisiana.
Mm-hmm.
She did not play that game. She did not dress out. I don't even think she showed up.
She wasn't even there.
Yeah, she wasn't even there for the game. And then the game prior to that, one, she was benched early mm-hmm. in the first quarter.
Yep.
And then she was benched for the second half
yep.
of the game. There's rumors. I don't know why she didn't play suit up for the Southern Louisiana game, but allegedly there may be something going on academic wise for her. There was also other rumors going around saying that her mom and moms had like some type of
beef
going on. So we don't really know why she was out for that game. It kind of made me think about just NILs that's currently, recent for the college. Because I was having that conversation with my supervisor at work. He always come up to me when I always talk about basketball and everything like that. And then somehow we just got on NILs and everything like that. And I just gave my perspective on it.
Mm-hmm.
Me personally, it's like, I told him, I was like, one, I don't want to see it take college sports in the wrong direction.
Yeah.
But at the same time, they deserve all the money. Mm-hmm. I feel like they deserve whatever money that they do get based on the NCAA for years just using their likeness and making billions and billions of dollars off of these college athletes that for a while couldn't work,
mm-hmm.
couldn't do anything to make money, in the in college. But, we both, college graduate, we got a bachelor's degree, went to law with 4 years and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
So we know how stressful academics can be.
Yeah.
We know how stressful that can be. And then when you add just being a college athlete, I'm not even going to say a D1 athlete, being a college athlete, you add that on top of it, that adds more stress to it. For a majority. So I give tip my head off to all the college athletes in school and everything like that, the ones that are actually maintaining.
Mm-hmm.
We can't speak on certain athletes, like a Melo back in the day with a 1.8 GPA. But, you have whatever sport you're playing, you have your academics, and then you add endorsement deals on top of that.
Yeah.
I feel like that adds an extra layer of pressure on you, because when you think about these endorsement deals, it's a contract. You're getting paid, but you still got some type of obligations to fulfill in this contract. It may not be a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It may be just, hey, you got to show up to this photo shoot at this time, blah, blah, blah. I'm sure it's more than that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you still have obligations to fulfill within these NIL deals, as well as maintaining a certain image for this brand and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to ask, because with the rumor being that, maybe she has academic issues,
mm-hmm.
do you think endorsement deals put unnecessary pressure on these college athletes?
For me, I think that it is, one, it's a case-by-case basis. I'll also say I don't think every college athlete deserves an NIL deal, because I feel like there's a bunch of students who are at school who don't have no financial support other than financial aid and are working probably 2-3 times as hard as you. Because I've seen those students who don't get shit, but they bust their ass every day. And you get a day off and you got a little white girl do your homework for you. It ain't every athlete, but it is some
of your top, yeah, I got stories from some of your top athletes that especially like came, especially like those high school sensational, you know, athletes that was, you know, viral during that time we was growing up. Yeah, I got some stories.
Yeah, and I've heard the stories.
I got some stories.
Oh boy. But still, I think that it can be pressuring. Like, you know, hey, you got to go to this at 2 o'clock. Well, dang, I got practice at 3. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm thinking about. An hour to get there and back. How long that going to be? And, you know, you're managing everything.
And usually 2 practices
a day. It's usually 2 practices a day. Yep. Plus lift and film sessions. So, and seeing the trainer, if you guys see the trainer.
Yep.
So that schedule can be hectic. It can be a lot. However, I think that besides the point of understanding that, hey, grades probably did slip because it is a lot, you know, because, you know, you wanted this money, you got it, now you got to keep working for it. But I also think it's the flip side, too, of, like, some student athletes forget that you a student athlete. You know, not everybody going to go to the league, not everybody going to go pro, whatever sport you play, and you got to work just as hard in that classroom as you do on the court, field, wherever. And some people just lazy, bro. Some people just, like, go to school and be like, fuck it. Like, and I think that it's also interesting that it is LSU, because we know Joe Burrow didn't really do anything in the classroom. We know Odell didn't really do anything in the classroom. They told Ben Simmons, don't do shit, but focus on basketball. So it doesn't help that this is a program who was known to just pass their athletes along because they know they're going to go somewhere.
Yeah.
So it kind of looks like, not that, dang, she's struggling, balancing everything. It looked like y'all enabling her not to do shit.
Not to do shit, yeah.
So it's tough to have sympathy in this moment, because it feels like you're being held accountable for your actions. And I'm all for people being accountable. Everyone get accountability. Like, ain't nobody above accountability in the ass whooping, is what I will always say.
Right.
So if it is that, and it's, hey, Angel, you really ain't been shown to the class, you ain't been putting your work in, and I forget the head coach's name, she doesn't strike me as someone who'll be like, fuck it, girl, you going to the league. It's like, where the hell were you?
I don't know much about her, but I know she's a legendary coach, and she got a lot of respect from a lot of athletes that's played under her, as well as players or coaches that's coached against her.
Yeah.
So I know she's a very respectable coach.
Yeah. I don't think that she's just her response. Well, I'm not going to say her response, but I think that, like, she is being led by a coach who will hold her accountable.
Mm-hmm.
So if this is that and she need to get her shit together, girl, get your shit together.
Yeah.
But if it is one of those things where it's like grades are slipping because these NIL deals and these commercials and stuff like that is a lot, okay, like, let's reteach her time management. Let's, like, hey, she got this to do, so she can't do that. Ask for another time. So reallocate those responsibilities.
Right. I do want to throw out there is, like, one, I don't even know if these two things correlate with each other. We don't really know as of yet why Angel Reese is missing these games, anything like that. But, well, I bring it up just because of, you know, that reason. You know, even because when you go pro, you don't have to worry about the academic side of things. And you can just focus on playing and whatever deals that you do have.
Yep.
But just being a college student, and shit, just being a working citizen and just having to juggle different things in life, some things may slip.
Yeah.
Some things may slip. So if she's going, like, if she's having a tough time with her academics, I get it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she became this viral sensation over, you know, the past year or so, you know, before the tournament and whatnot. And then she just signed with Reebok. Yeah. You know, Shaq, that was the first signing Shaq and AI did.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to them as well.
Oh, yeah. Congratulations with that.
No, yeah, I don't think we ever burn that up. Shout out to them as well. So you have all of this. Now you have all of this on your plate. I'm not sure how old she is. She's probably like, what, 21?
I think between 20 and 21.
Yeah, something like that. And of course, this is something you, when it comes to like time management, organization, everything like that, you learn that, you get better with that through the years. I'm not saying she don't have that, but with the NILs now, like you all, it seems like she's always in the spotlight now. Like whether it is with TikTok, whether it is being on the cover of something, it's not just about basketball anymore.
Yeah.
Now you ambassador for these different brands and everything like that. So then you have all this other stuff on your plate, and I feel like when you have other stuff like that, that takes away from your academics. Because I mean, I've been through that. So it's like you have to really be able to find a balance between all the things that you got going on, and like is, you know, don't be afraid to say no to certain things. Like, of course, get your bag, take care of your family, take care of whatever you got. But don't be afraid to say no to some things, especially when it's affecting like your mental health, your physical health, or any type of aspect that, you know, spiritual, whatever type of health that is affecting. Don't be afraid to say no to just certain things, because it was just weird that I haven't seen it really, unless a player was like hurt. If a college player do like miss a game, usually there is an explanation for it.
Yep.
But with this time, it's like, you know, obviously she didn't show up. She didn't show up. We hope she comes back sooner than later. And, you know, it was just a vague, you know, explanation of why, you know, she didn't show up for the game.
Yeah.
And I haven't seen it before. I'm not sure if you have. You know, like I said, use the explanation. So maybe that's why I kind of like pit those two together, if it is something to do with her academics. But hopefully she be able to figure all that stuff out.
I agree. I hope whatever it is, it gets solved. Like, if it is needing more accountability and doing better in the classroom, good. If it is balancing everything to properly play the sport and still make money and live your life, cool. Just get it figured out. Like, the only time I could think of, like, a vague response by a coach of a player situation was Steve Kerr and Andrew Wiggins. Because Andrew Wiggins didn't play for, like, over a month last season. And, you know, it was the alleged rumor going around that, you know, his baby mother, well, his girlfriends, they have a kid together, that his kid was his best friend's kid. And I would say this, it didn't help that her response didn't help either, because she put a tweet out basically telling everybody, like, basically saying, it's funny how people be up in your business. And I just think that that's a defensive, deflective response. When you could have just said, I did not cheat on Andrew. Like, our kid is our kid. Like, that's more believable than, like, I just think it's funny how. But regardless of that, that's the only time I can see a coach giving a response of, like, they just not here.
Right.
Like, that's it.
Because, I mean, when you in college, you know where they're at.
Yeah, you know where they're at.
You know they're at. They're in class or they're at practice. Like, we keep it in track of everything. Like, so for you to not know why this person didn't show up is, you know, kind of weird. But you kind of, it kind of goes into the research and teaching that you want to, you talking about the coach and everything like that.
Yeah.
You want to explain that?
Oh, it's my first time. So for this segment of reaching or teaching, what is the LSU coach's response, or would a coach's response like that be reaching or teaching? I wanted to ask, is it reaching or teaching? Because I've seen online people saying that's a coach. That's how you handle that situation. You keep the business in-house. And then I've seen some people saying, you know, basically she's reaching, as in, like, you just don't want to tell us the whole story because it's going to make you look bad. Or you don't want to keep her accountable because she's Angel Reese. So do you think it's reaching, or do you think it's teaching to get that type of response as a coach?
Me, personally, I think it's teaching. I don't think she was reaching. Or any other coach that's have to sit in front of cameras and mics and explain a situation about a player. I do think it's better for the team, whichever team it is, whether it's college, whether it's a professional team, to keep the business in-house. I think it's a way to go by answering certain questions to give them the answer, but not the full details.
Right.
You know, not necessarily lie would just withhold certain some information, private information that doesn't need to add extra spotlight, extra pressure to whatever that player is going through. Yeah. So I think as a coach in that type of position, it's kind of your responsibility to protect your players.
Yeah.
So I think when having that discussion with the press, it's your, it's your duty to go in there, be able to answer those questions, but at the same time protect players so they can still, so that trust won't be broken.
Yeah.
Between the coach and the player. So I think that's a teacher moment for the coach. Sorry, I don't know. I'm going to find the name, but I don't know the name right now. Look it up, please. Thank you. Appreciate it. But I think, that's definitely a teacher moment for her, as well as any other coach that take that route of protecting their players, because it may be something more serious than what we think it is.
Yeah.
And she may be especially when this is her second year with LSU.
Yeah.
So being under her wing, under her umbrella, they may have some type of, I'm not saying they do, but they may have some type of mother-daughter connection.
Yeah.
So if you go in the press and just start, bashing your player of why she's not there, or just giving out information that she didn't want out, that's going to definitely affect the relationship that you have between the coach and the player. And then as with that being the star player on the team, then it may trickle down to it affecting the team as a whole.
Yeah.
I think she did right with her response. I mean, she didn't say much, but it looked like she was like, nigga, we don't know.
Yeah. And we done with talking about that.
Yeah, we're not here to talk about that. She didn't show up. We still won the game, and that's what it is. Mm-hmm. Once she come back, she'd be ready to play, and it is what it is.
For me, it's tough because I'm someone who always says accountability and context. Like, I'm someone who loves context. But I think that giving context necessarily doesn't mean putting everything out there. So it's like on the side where I see it being reaching is you still got the other parts of the conversation. It's like, so why are Flo's mom and her mom beefing? Why did Flo's mom say that statement of like, well, at least my daughter, or at least, well, get on your daughter for having below a 2.0. Like, why would she need to say that? Like, if it's not true and it's a bunch of bullshit, then it's also that too of like, is the coach protecting the team dynamic? Because from what that happened, that could be on the reach, on the teaching side. And then back on the reaching side, it was a very vague response. Like, she just won't hear. She didn't play. She sat. And now she's not here. But she'll be back, hopefully.
Yeah.
That, to me, don't sound like I'm protecting you. That, to me, sound like I'm fed up with you.
Mm-hmm.
However, I think that it's... When I say give context, because I look at people like Kyrie Irving, who say very little, and then anybody can take it anywhere. And then you look at other side, like, because I always compare these two when it comes to information, is Kanye and Kyrie. You have a case of someone in Kanye who says everything, and then Kyrie who don't say enough.
Yeah.
And it's just like, her response now is allowing for things to run around, and it doesn't help that this is news now. We heard what your mom was saying. But then on the other side, I see where it's teaching too, of like, this, I need to maintain my team. I need to maintain not just their play, but them as people and their trust. So I'm giving this vague ass response because it's none of y'all business.
Yeah.
Like, if it is her grades, like, that's part of college. You're not gonna do good all the time.
Right.
But I do think that a response of, Angel needs to be in a place for better productivity. I have her back. The team has her back. And we're going to make sure that she's good.
Right.
I think that type of response, you don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
But you just know that we got her back.
Thanks. I think what you were saying when it comes to the academic side of things, that is college business. As a coach,
yeah.
I'm on you. Mm-hmm. If your grades are not, if you're slacking with your grades, we have some work to do.
Mm-hmm.
If that's bringing a tutor on these road games or whatever. That is kind of my business. But when you talk about like the mothers having beef, now it's like that's outside of that's outside of basketball. So now it's like, one, that's not y'all business, and that's not even my business.
Yeah.
That's not even my business.
I don't care what they mad at.
So if that was the case and she know that information, that's not her job to, you know, pit that out. That's something you would have to ask Angel Reese. Since that's real personal stuff. I don't feel like that's the coach's position to go into any details if that's the reason she didn't show up to the game.
Yeah. Yep. So I'm stuck because it's just hard because I can just see both sides of it, like, clearly of, okay, there may be some bullshit going on and she's just trying to negate it, but it's also like, no, there's something going on and I'm just trying to keep it in-house so we can get it straight. So for the moment, I would say that she's teaching. I don't think she's fully reaching. Like, it could be something there, but for the moment, I'm going to say that she's teaching. She's keeping the integrity of the team intact, as well as, like, some people's grades is personable. Like, this is one thing, like, sometimes we got to stop thinking that student athletes actually don't give a fuck. Some do. Like, and I am blessed to have had the opportunity to work with some student athletes who do want to get good grades. So if she's not doing well academically and actually is bothering her, I wouldn't put that out there either, because how is that going to be productive for you in the classroom?
Right.
Now it's your coach and say, yeah, she's failing. This shit terrible. Like, that's not going to make me want to go to class. Exactly. But then it's like on the opposite side of, like, she's just not caring. Okay, then that's still for me to address. Mm-hmm. That's not for the press to know. That's for me to do that as the coach, as the person that these parents entrusted their child with. I'm an extension of their parenting. I have to do what I got to do, and that's just for y'all to just wonder about.
Yeah, and I don't think it wouldn't have been anything bad if she would have came out and said, you know, there is some things that's going on internally, whether it's with the team, whether it's with her personally. Mm-hmm. She didn't really have to go into details. If she would have came out and just said something like that, I think that would have been enough for people to, you know, run with, okay, maybe... You know, if you say internally, that means, you know, there's something going on with her mental-wise or something personal that's going on with her. So we can just keep it at that, let her figure out or get everything situated. And then when she come back, she be, you know, ready to play.
Mm-hmm. And we can just move past it.
Yeah. Yep.
So I'll say she's teaching. I just, even though, you know, I'm riding with Iowa this year. Either Iowa or South Carolina win this year. But
Malaysia, she different.
She playing, man.
She different.
But besides that, I'm going to say that coach was teaching. Did the damn name load up? The signal in here be a little crazy for me sometimes. Kim Mulkey, or Mulkey. I don't know how you say it. Coach Kim. I'm just going to say that because it's easier. Coach Kim, I think she's teaching in this moment, and hopefully this doesn't have to get revisited.
Yeah.
It can just be like, this happened, we over, we moving on.
And move on. Yep. I agree. But yep, I don't have any more for this episode. You have any more for this episode?
You know, if I may.
Go ahead.
Check out my sponsor, Katana Creations. He made me this anime embroidered shirt. For those of you who can't see or can't see, it is Gohan with a Nike check on it. I got some other gear. Go hit him up on Instagram. That's Katana_Creations, but with a K. That's Katana Creations. Look him up on Instagram. Does anime embroidery work. For those of you who watch my channel, Woke, you know that I'm a big nerd, as well as I love sports. So go ahead and check him out, and also check out my other sponsor at Chale Clothing. That's Chale Clothing. Yep. And also check out Unfiltered Brothers store too, because they have merch as well. And I'm also wearing 2 Unfiltered Brothers wristbands.
So. You know what? Yep. Appreciate that. Yeah. Check out his sponsors. Check out his podcast, The Woke Podcast. Great conversations that go on in the podcast. You know, check out us. Subscribe to our channel. Subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify to keep, you know, stay updated. Follow Regional Teaching on Instagram, Facebook as well. Follow Relentless 15. You know, stay updated when he you know, posts his new episodes and everything like that. And follow our Fifth Brothers podcast on Instagram. But once again, we appreciate all the feedback, all the comments that we get. continue to give us all your hot takes or any topics that y'all want us to cover when it's time to record and everything like that. We just always appreciate the interaction that we have with the audience. But, you know, with that, y'all stay blessed, y'all stay safe, and we out here.